All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Time now for Coming in Hot with Brent Wallace and former Ottawa Senator Jason York.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. Brent Wallace alongside Jason York, who's back from your big trip, probably golfing. Oh, and pickleball.
Pickleball, Florida. Yep. It was Naples, Florida. It's the place where nobody knows there's a recession going on in the world. It's absolutely insane. It's make-believe land, Wally. That's all I got for you. And I told you about the place there on the seed the table. Your kind of place. Yes. It's the guy that owns it loves Donald Trump just like you.
It's too early to start in this already. I stayed at the. By the way, there's the. They had a GM meetings one time there at the Four Seasons or whatever it is. That place.
The Ritz.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah.
All right. I don't want to waste time because we've got big news with the Sens. Right, the B Sens. They're moving on to the second round. They're going to play Cleveland after dumping those Marlies in overtime in game three. So let's just get right to it. We've got the head coach, David Bell, all the way from Belleville, sir. Congratulations, by the way, on getting the win. That's got to feel pretty good to do it in overtime.
Yeah, it was a really good feeling. Obviously a dirty feeling the night before there, going the wrong way. But to get it going our way last night was awesome.
Okay, before we go any further, when I originally made the request to speak to you, I didn't know about the handshake line. And then all of a sudden I'm on Twitter and I see it's everywhere. What is your reaction, or was there surprise to you with the incident that happened between basically Kyle Clifford and Boko Omama?
Well, was I surprised? Absolutely. Because I've been in hockey a long time and I've never, ever seen that happen before. Background, I know Cliffy well. I coached him as a 17-year-old in Barrie. And have a ton of respect for him. And this is my second go at coaching Boko. So, you know what? I've also been here for 5 years in the Battle of Ontario, or the 401, with us and the big club. It's pretty hot. And there's been some pretty wild stuff down here in the last 5 years, both ways. This is just a continuation of it. I'll say this. We had a meeting this morning about winning the right way and losing the right way. And I think lessons were probably learned both ways. And talking to John Gruden on the ice and after the game. Both groups would probably like a redo there, how that game ended, and just have the proper handshake. But lessons were learned, and that's all I'll say about it. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to get your real thoughts, but we'll move on.
for people that are just listening and not watching, just a little skirmish after some pushing and shoving. I'm surprised though, guys, it doesn't happen more, because it's so intense, especially the American Hockey League. It's for people who don't watch the American Hockey League. It's a big man's game, and tempers are running hot, and there's a lot at stake. And I'm surprised, Dave, it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, like I've seen in the hallways, in the lock, and you know, all that stuff. And you're right, like the game, super emotional series, super emotional season series against them, and then the horn goes, and you know, everybody's asked to collect their thoughts and hold their emotion and turn the switch off. Well, some guys' switches, they flicker a little bit. So,
Oh yeah.
They're not always on the off switch.
with all that aside, what a great series for you guys. So having to win down the stretch, it just seemed like you guys were prepared for it because you were playing playoff hockey before it started.
Well, we had to get in. I mean, you guys know all the transactions we had with the injuries up top and the salary cap up there. You know, we were in desperate mode for a long time. We had to win 8 of 9 to get in there, and it wasn't decided till that second to last night. So I think that was good for the guys, whether we made it or not, just those young guys, you know, having to step up and play big minutes and play important games before we got to the playoffs kind of set them up for that first series. And again, for those guys, I mean, Cleveland's going to be Cleveland, first place team, but you know, to go into an atmosphere against Toronto, against the rivalry, against all that stuff, against, you know, if you live in Ontario, Toronto walks on water. So to go in there and win that series for Clev and for Ostapchuk and all these guys, I think it's huge for their development.
Do you think now, just to get off track a little, that the rivalry is any more heated going into next season?
I would go out on a limb and say yes.
Captain, I'd be a
ceremony all of next year just to watch these games from now on. In overtime yesterday, for players, they're the ones that they can control it because they're on the ice. What's it like for you? The season's on the line. It's overtime. Are you nervous? Is it just another period? What's it like for the coach?
Well, no, it's not just another period. You're as nervous as a player. Like, a player doesn't want to make a mistake and miss an assignment. You know, I don't want to miss a line match or a face-off matchup that I want to get out there. Too many men on the ice. You know, what are you going to do? You have all that run through your head. If you get a power play, what unit's going to go? If a guy's in the box, who replaces him on that unit? So you're not overthinking things, but you're trying not to leave anything out and have the end result be your fault, so to say, as the coach, and make that coaching error. So, you're nervous for sure.
You said something earlier about what this is going to do for your players. And we were talking a little bit before you got on the show, and I'm a big proponent of the American Hockey League. I was there for almost 4 years. I know how good it is for people's development. And some of your guys, like you mentioned, Clevin in particular, everybody's talking about him. How much have you seen his game from start to finish to where he is now as far as his development goes?
I think he's come quite a ways because, I mean, I've been in this league a long time, and you see guys come up, college or junior, and go right in that last two or three games of the year that he did the previous year. And I mean, some of those games are mop-up games in the NHL, and it's not a real feel, and he's never played in the American League. So those players, and Clev didn't do it, but they're going to come to the American League the next year out of training camp and think it's going to be easy and they belong in the NHL and why am I down here? Clev didn't do that. Clev came down and knew he had to work. But he admittedly said, wow, this is harder than I thought in the American League. So there was an adjustment period for him, but he's come a super long way. Nate McKeever's done a great job developing him, and just, you know, he still has to grow and be better and keep improving his game, but he's some of his college habits and some of his I don't know what your amateur habits, I guess, have definitely improved. You know, you got to learn how to work and work hard, and working in pro is a lot different than working at school or working in junior. Like, you're working against men that are trying to take paychecks home to their families, and people have to learn how to do that. There's a different work in the junior and than there is in pro, and he's learned that. So his development is going well.
Oh, good to hear.
I don't have you. I'm missing you, and I'm not a lip reader.
Wally, you're talking. You're like a mime over there.
So, it's Monday. I apologize. You're talking about certain players. I just wanted to ask about Stephen Halliday. You don't maybe know a lot about him. You've had him for 13 games, I think, now. He played 10 in the regular season, 3 in the postseason. He assisted on the overtime winner. What can you tell us about him? Looks like great size. Looks like he's playing really well.
I think potential is a big word, but his potential is off the charts. He's a big body, super soft hands, and I never want to put that comma for a big man, for a little man. I don't care, for just a hockey player. He's got great hands, great vision, and again, just sees the ice really, really well. Like, for a guy to come out of junior out of college and he's on our first power play unit, and not by just granted it, he's earned it. He sees plays, he makes plays, and he makes our power play dangerous. And he's going to be an exciting guy to watch.
So, like, you haven't had him for very long. How long did it take for you to go, let's try him on the first power play unit?
Well, after watching him in our very first practice, we usually start with a small area game, and he made about 3 passes that I hadn't seen anybody on the team make this year. And so I'm like, might not be a bad idea to put this guy on a power play. And then, and teammates, the best compliment guys can get, teammates come to you and say, hey, I wouldn't mind playing with Halliday. I wouldn't mind playing. So, you know, when guys are coming to you and saying that he probably, they know he's going to get him the puck. So you kind of pay attention to what the players are saying.
It's funny. It's funny. It's funny how that works, eh? When the players start coming to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about a guy I really liked, and I talk about him a lot when he's on our show. He's a great story. Rourke Chartier. Like, he came up here and played, I thought, a real solid, tight defensive game. How's he been for you?
He's been about his coach's dream. You know, as a coach, like, he is so reliable, so safe. Straight lines, 75% on the faceoff every night. And he's a guy, perfect example. Hey, I'm going to put Steven on the power play. I'm going to move you here. Okay, sure. I'm going to put you over here. Okay, no problem. I'm going to take you off the power play. Okay, no problem. Like, just an ultimate team guy, pushes the pace, whatever, everything, penalty kill, power play. Like, and you guys watch him up there. Like, I think that's why he had success. Jacques trusted him. He was safe, played above the puck. He plays the same game here as he plays in the NHL, which is sometimes rare for those older guys that come down here, and it's cookie day and point night. Rourke plays the exact same way in the American League as he does in the NHL.
Has anybody had to that you've seen come back? I've heard about this before. Guys come back down from the NHL. I don't know if pouting is the word, but their game changes a little, and it's tougher to get adjusted. Like, has there been anybody that's kind of struggled once they've come back down for a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm not going to tell you who, but I'm a pretty straightforward guy, and it's you nip that in the bud with a conversation, whether it's after their first morning skate or their first practice, that doesn't work. So, no, and it's just human nature. They're disappointed. Yeah. Their emotions are all over the place, and they probably think they got screwed and they shouldn't have been sent down, and you know, the world's against them, and you know what? That's not how they're going to get back up there. So we have a quick talk, and 95% of the time they readjust themselves and reset, and away they go.
Go ahead, Yorkie.
There's just another player I wanted to pick your brain on, and he had a real good first game, and then big body, a stop check. What is there something there with this player? Like, to me, when I saw him, it just, like, he just looks like he's got all the tools.
Well, I'm just a coach. I'm not a general manager, so I'm probably speaking out of my pay grade. But I see Zacho Stopchuk as a guy that's going to play a long time in the NHL as a probably a third line center that gets 10 to 15 goals and has five fights a year and can penalty kill. And if he can move up the lineup, he can move up the lineup. And the bigger the game, the better he is. Like, he's a hockey player. He's a throwback hockey player that feels the game, understands moments of the game, whether it needs to be a body check, a fight, a goal. He just has a great feel for the moments in the games, what needs to be done, play safe, dump it in. Okay, I need to maybe challenge this defenseman and go try to score a goal. Like, his feel for the moments of the game, outside of obviously his physical attributes, is outstanding.
It's no wonder you guys won the first round. You're rhyming off guys that all play the right way and do the right thing, and they're team guys.
Yeah.
key guys for you. And you look at it's amazing, though, when you got guys like that, how winning comes hand in hand.
Yeah, and that's Ryan Bonus, Sean McCauley, all our pro scouts. That character was a high priority this summer when they re-signed guys or signed new guys. And you know what? It's showing its face right now, and it's bringing us fruits, the fruits of its hard work in the summer by the management group showing right now.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I just listened to a clip of yours, and I apologize, I don't know where it's from, but you talked about the identity that you've had since day one in that organization of everybody's bought into just hard work every day. And that seems to be basically what's paid off now, is the hard work is finally, as you said, you're seeing the fruits.
Yeah. You know what? You have to have talent, and we have talent. We have a whole bunch of talent. We have lots of talented players, highly skilled players. But if you don't work, you're not gonna get anywhere. There's probably three or four guys that played in the NHL or played in the regulars in the NHL over the course of its history that just got there on God-given ability and talent. And you can get there and stay there a little bit, but if you don't work, it catches up to you. So if we can ingrain hard work down here, and then they can take that up there, they have a better chance of staying up there, which is where they all want to be. So that's usually the message, and they give it to me and bug me, but I've never heard of a guy stretching his way or load managing his way to the NHL. So we work down here.
I love it. Wait, I love the old saying, hey, will beat skill all day long, but if you can get skill to have some will, you got something special.
Absolutely, and these guys, they do it. They understand it. And it's not me or the staff pushing them into the weight room or pushing them up and down the ice doing, you know, conditioning. We don't even do much conditioning. They practice at a pretty high pace. It's them on their own, and that's our leadership group. They've been awesome. Dylan Hetherington is not obviously playing right now, but he's probably the first guy in the gym every morning, just making sure guys are working and doing their thing. So our leadership group's awesome.
Let's talk Cleveland now, as they finish first in your division. You were 1-3 against them this year, but you haven't played them since mid-December. By the way, tickets go on sale today. So I don't know that – does the regular season matter a whole lot right now, as you see? And they haven't played. I don't know if rust is an issue for them. Like, we understand, like, because they've waited for the first round to be over. How do you see this series shaping up?
Well, they and us, like, I think you can throw that regular season record or right in the garbage. You know what, they were really, really good at the start, didn't have any injuries, they were really good. They played really well. Then at the end of the year, you know what, Columbus got whacked with injuries, so they lost a whack of guys and took a little slide and came back to the pack. So, you know what, and I still don't even know what the roster is going to be with guys that were hurt at the end of the year. They don't have to disclose that until probably Wednesday. So I would throw that regular season series right in the garbage, and even, you know, their team's identity and ours, because, you know, we had Rourke Sharche hardly all season. Clev was up, Ostapchuk was up, Cruikshank was up. So, you know what, it's two, and not new teams, but there's not a whole lot of stock you can put in that record, I don't think.
Do you like the it's best of five, by the way, for people who are just listening. The first two games are in Belleville. It starts Wednesday. Do you like the first two games at home and then three on the road? Not that you can do anything about it. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on the schedule.
Well, if we win the first two, I do. How's that? no, it's, you know what, we've playing on our fans have been awesome. So, yeah. You can look at it both ways. Our fans have been outstanding, and it's good for them to, you know, to push us in these first two games. But you can look at it the other way. Cleveland's probably saying they come in here and steal one. Then they got three at home in the back end. So We've been pretty good on the road as well as at home. So for us to go on the road, whatever the series is after Friday, we're pretty comfortable doing that too in another building.
Your building was hopping yesterday. It looks like it's been, for the most part, it's been great all year. You just have a really good fan base in Belleville right now.
Yeah. Friday, Wednesday, our last game against Lavelle was outstanding in a must-win game. Fans really showed up. The office been working hard, really grinding to get people to flip over from the Bulls. You know, that's been a tough sell, but they're coming around, and I really hope that this success we're having and hopefully continued success, we find some new fans and we convert some Belleville Bull fans.
Okay, does David Bell have a game day routine like players?
Well, I have kids and I have young kids, so that you guys know that that probably throws everything you want to do right out the window. But I wouldn't say I have anything crazy that I do. Like if there's a nap to be had, maybe, but if the kids have something to do, that's out. But as far as my food or anything like that, not overly, not anymore, not as a coach.
Are you a gum chewer or anything like that?
Well, first and third period.
What?
I don't know. Just the first and the third.
What goes on in the second?
What happened in the second?
Nothing. Just water. Hydrate in the second.
This is good. I haven't heard this. So is it always the same kind of gum? Is it the same brand?
Yeah. Well, and that's what the trainer gives us. So yeah. So that's right. Not superstition. That's just being too cheap to buy my own gum, and whatever's provided is what I eat.
No, that's smart.
So in overtime, is it a gum chewing time?
It was. Maybe take the nerves there a little bit. I work the nerves in the overtime. So I did put a fresh couple sticks in there for overtime.
That's amazing. We always ask the players, like, is there a cheat snack if they're sitting on the couch? Is there one that you like if you're sitting on the couch watching a movie? Do you have a favorite snack?
That's a weird question, but I'm a cheese and crackers guy. If that helps, I'm a big cheese and crackers guy. So Mia and my son are salty snacks. My wife and daughter are chocolate and sweet. So I'm salty and they're sweet.
Okay, I'm gonna ask him the question everybody wants to know. Beller, how do you like your steak done? Medium, well, or are you a medium rare or a medium? This is
medium
big.
Rare. Medium rare.
So the gentleman over to the side here is well done.
You're like my mother, so when you come to, if you ever come to my house, I'm gonna buy you a $2 steak, because if you're gonna cook it medium rare, medium well, let's put a hamburger patty on there for you to eat.
See, Wally? Look, see?
This was a setup, and I don't appreciate it.
Medium. Well, are you nervous? Where are you buying your meat?
You know what I think it's from? I'm a maritimer.
You get the on sale stuff in the Loblaws sale rack. That's what you're doing.
Well, my mom always used to cook everything a little on the well-done side. I think I'm just used to it.
Mine as well, but you can. I guess being a maritimer and you're waiting for all the beef to come out from Ontario or out west. That's like, you know what? I was just me and Nate were somewhere the other day eating, and it was a big sale on PEI mussels, and he had no interest in eating. It was in Toronto the other day, and he goes, "Nah, I'm not gonna eat PEI mussels in Toronto. I'll wait till I get home and eat them." So maybe that's you and the beef. You just never had real beef out there.
It's not about me. What has impressed you the most about your team this season? What have you learned about this group as the season's gone on?
Oh, well, and I'm not saying this as a cliche, because there's a ton of examples. The resiliency, and I go back to the character of the group. Like we've had it both ways. We've had the scale where we've had no players and had to scramble and call up East Coast League players, called U Yorkie to find guys out of school to scrap and find players, and nobody complained. Whoever was in the lineup stepped up, did whatever. and we got results. And then we were the other way in the era of when we had McEwen down here and we had too many vets and we couldn't dress and we had two healthy vets sitting out every night. And that's a tough pill to swallow for a vet that's supposed to be a go-to guy down here. And you got to ask him to healthy scratch him and sit him. And they were unbelievable pros about it, unbelievable teammates about it, and encouraged and were the first guys in the tunnel when we won, you know, just high-fiving guys. And then it was their turn to go in, just that revolving door. And we had that for 8 or 10 games. And so when you see both ends of the spectrum and the group just stay tight together, you know you have a good group. You have a really good group. Both ends of the spectrum, they handled it outstandingly.
It's been fun to watch, and it certainly you've made for some entertaining hockey, because down the stretch was interesting to watch and see how it plays out. And so we will continue to watch as you guys take on Cleveland starting Wednesday. David Bell, appreciate your time and good luck.
Thanks for having me, man. And yeah, good luck. Next time, steak, medium rare.
There you go. Good luck. Beller, best of luck in the next series.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Hopefully it gets you down here for a live game, live viewing.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
I'll take you out. I'll take you for lunch. there goes David Bell. I appreciate it.
I'm going to go. I went down a couple years ago, but I'm going to make my way down for a playoff game. I'm a big fan of the American Hockey League because, like I said, I played there for 3.5 years, won a championship in the American Hockey League. Hockey is so good because you get a few more mistakes in the NHL, but it is so intense around playoff time, and there's some great battles out there. So it sounds like I'll be honest, I haven't watched much of Belleville last year. I've watched some of the highlights, but sounds like they're he's got something brewing there with this group. It sounds like he's got a special group.
You know what they're like when you play that type of style getting into the postseason, you can start to surprise teams, right? When you're already in it and you're rolling. I think of Nashville that way. We'll get to the whole Nashville debacle in a bit. But I like same with you, York. I grew up with the AHL in Fredericton. Like Ron Tugnutt, I watched play in Fredericton. Flo Julien and Mark Crawford. Like it was fun to watch. I've always loved the AHL. I think it's a great product.
So when Mark Crawford was coaching the St. John's Maple Leafs, or St. John's. I always get confused with St. John and St. John's.
St. John Flames.
That's the era I was in. I was playing in Adirondack, Detroit's farm team. And I don't know if you remember this. I think we might have set a record at the time. It was a best-of-7 series. Not one of the teams won a home game. Every single game was won on the road. It was crazy, Wally. And I'll never forget this because Mike Ilitch was so mad at the Red Wings. Mike Ilitch, his family, he's passed away now. You know, he owned the Detroit Red Wings back then. That he gave us the Red Wings jet. It was called Redbird 1 for the rest of the playoffs. When Detroit got beat out, they gave us the jet to take to Newfoundland. And the guys, you know how it is in the minors. The guys were so fired up. We're on Redbird 1. We're heading out. Oh, and I'll never – when we won the cup, we brought the Calder Cup back to Adirondack. The runway in Glens Falls Airport was actually too small for that type of jet. So we're landing in the Glens Falls Fire Department's there. But the guys that are piloting this plane are great pilots. So there was nothing, but it was just funny. And seeing the fire department and all the fans waiting. But, man, what a party we had. And for people that haven't been to Newfoundland, Wally, I know you know all about it. Back then when they had their American Hockey League St. John's Maple Leafs, that place was buzzing. And the old Memorial Center. You remember the old song, Life is Life? Na, 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 na.
By life Opus, I think it is.
Life. So they used to, I could see it right now sitting on the bench. They played this song during most of the game. All the Newfies were in the stands with their beer mugs going back and forth to Life is Life. And the place was, it was so good. So good. Good, great memories. And we won game 7. In St. John's, and then after, when we went to our bus, all the fans came out and swarmed our bus and started rocking our bus in the parking lot. We're like, hold on, boys, the bus it was crazy. And then we finally got out of the parking lot, but fun times.
Once again, another story about how the Leafs are losing in the playoffs. We will move on. Before I want to go back to the handshake line. Before we do that, let's take care of some business. As always, this show proudly presented by Betway. Go to betway.ca. Must be 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Betway, don't forget the Betway playoff bracket with the National Hockey League. One of the official sponsors of the NHL when it comes to betting. So, also, by Douglas, Yorkie.
Oh, hold on. Let me just get my Douglas. Here we go. Yeah, always brought to you by Douglas. Name Canada's best mattress, Canadian Living. Unrivaled comfort, feel, motion isolation, sleeps cool, and relieves those pesky pressure points. Loved by more than 200,000 Canadians and over 10,000 five-star reviews. You can order it online very easily. Comes usually within 1 to 4 business days, and every mattress comes with that sleep comfort bundle. Pillow, sheets, and a mattress protector. Don't wait. Start your 365-night sleep trial by visiting douglas.ca/CIH.
And also by BEI, Bonnechere Excavating, Inc. They are heavy civil general contractors, but also do not only commercial, but private as well. Equipment rentals, aggregate and topsoil sales. They will come to your driveway if you need that as well. Custom crushing and screening. They can do a ton of work. Basically, they... If you need them, give them a call. 613-432-1120 or BonnechereExcavating.com. BEI, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. All right, Yorkie, let's go back to this handshake line before we move on to other stuff. Because I didn't know. Oh, by the way, the first guy, can you pause that for a sec, Gavin? Mm-hmm. Kyle Clifford, if you don't know this, is shaking Rourke Chartier's hand when this all goes down. And yeah. I immediately thought of you. So
gentleman, gentleman Rourke. I'm sure Rourke came in, firm handshake, looked him in the eye. Great series, and then chaos ensued.
And
then,
yeah, for people, yeah, for people,
yeah, for people not watching, like there was almost a brawl in that end of the series handshake line here with Clifford. Obviously something happened during the game with Obama.
So yes,
Kyle Clifford. I heard it was going on all series. I heard.
Yeah. So one is. In the game, Imama scores, and I don't know if he said something or not. By the way, if you listen to the two broadcasters talk about this incident, it's like they're in two separate planets. But that's the way home broadcasters tend to be, right? Like, I get it. But it's interesting to watch. And then something happened. I don't remember. I think it was in January. I can't remember. Imama may have speared the goalie in Toronto. And I just think there's been some incidents that have carried over. So again, all of that doesn't really matter when it comes to the handshake line. And I agree with you. I'm shocked there isn't more incidents.
But yeah.
That's because everybody just kind of matures at that point, shakes hands and saves it for another day. Cause like that stuff ends up in suspensions really quick.
It does. It does. It's just, it's Beller said something interesting there. It's all the emotions are running and then all of a sudden, game's over and you're shaking hands and you know it's the American Hockey League's a different animal. It has changed since I played there, but you get away with more. There's probably more crap set on the ice. It's not, you don't have the hot wired mics like you do in NHL rinks, so you can kind of push the envelope a little more in the American League. And I don't know how much Clifford has left in the tank, so he's probably getting close to retiring, right? So
And if you heard John Gruden's comments after the game, he was not happy with Kyle Clifford.
I know. Yeah. Like Gruden wouldn't like that.
There's nobody that came to the defense of Kyle Clifford from this one, except the Toronto broadcasters.
Yeah. And I have no idea what was said. I heard about it today, just like you. But usually most guys, after it's done, it's like, and even if you don't like the guy, you shake his hand and you move on. But yeah, it's a crazy game, this hockey, Wally. Sometimes guys just snap.
Yeah, but then there's usually consequences. Anyway, if you watch, John Gruden he wrangles Kyle Clifford in really quick. I will say that they de-escalated that situation immediately.
I'm sure, like, coaches don't want, like, everybody in the American League's there because they're trying to get to the NHL. Mm-hmm. So that nobody wants this happening and, because once something happens, who knows? Like then all chaos. If one guy starts fighting in a end of season handshake, then it could just turn into total mayhem and chaos. And it just looks bad for everybody.
Yeah. So I was interested. It was interesting to see because, like, even David Bell said, I don't remember the last time I saw something like that. I've seen it in minor hockey because they're like 8 year old kids and they don't know how to control their own emotions and they just start punching the guy in the cage.
You ever see the there's a video out there in a minor hockey game. I think these kids are like an atom. There's like a brawl going on and they're like punching each other and it's like I've seen this on TV.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Do you want to do Nashville or do you want to do Toronto first? Because Toronto is just like the world is coming to an end in Maple Leaf land. Marner may not be able to ever walk on the street again. By the sound,
This popped onto my feed. Do you remember Jay Rose Hill that played for the Leafs? Yeah. I don't know.
He does our sister show in Toronto.
Did you hear Jay after the game?
He was very upset and animated.
Oh my goodness. I'm like, whoa. But anyhow, there's people.
Okay, so do you agree with them?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Or not.
About Marner?
Yeah.
I watched the game in the condensed YouTube version, you know, when you can watch the thing. So I didn't watch it closely enough. This is what I'll say about the Leafs and why I don't think they never have any success. Their game's all about puck possession. You can tell they practice zone entries all the time, and it's all about keeping the puck and possessing it and your analytics and how much puck possession time. Their star players don't know how to chase down and like chipping a puck, putting a defenseman under pressure, going into the dirty areas. They just seem to not ever be on the inside in the offensive zone where you need to be in the playoffs. You can't win on the outside. And Marner, he's a guy that's on the outside. And you watch Brad Marchand, he plays on the inside. You watch Braden Point, who always has success in the playoffs, smaller guy, very similar to Marner. He gets to the inside all the time. And that's what the playoffs is all about. You need to get inside the dots because it's so tough to score on the outside. Toronto's not really getting the goaltending that Boston's getting either. Like Swayman's on a different level right now. But they're just, to me, Toronto's just a team that's extremely flawed in the way they're built. They put way too much money into their star players, and their star players just, you know, watch them come back and win and prove everybody wrong. But up to this point, Wally, they proved that they just don't have the intestinal fortitude that winning hockey in the playoffs is all about.
And on a side note, Mitch Marner's goal he scored was, did you see that goal? That was pretty nice. I will give full marks to that goal. It was outstanding. Yeah, but I'm thinking of early Ottawa, Yorkie. Like when you were around, this team didn't know how to win in the playoffs, even though they had really good teams, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And so it took them to change the mindset.
Yeah.
And that, but Toronto's been doing this forever. I don't understand how they can continue to change people and still end up with the same result.
Yeah, part of that's to do with Toronto, too, their goaltending. And I'll flip it back on those Ottawa teams I was with. The Toronto goalies were extremely good back then. They spent their
Andy
money.
Belfort, Curtis Joseph.
Toronto just spent their money more wiser back then, where they now it's like, okay, we've paid these guys so much money. It's okay. We've got this left for our goalies. And it doesn't
they
work.
Had no cap back then either. Right. And Ottawa was bankrupt.
and you look at Toronto's blue line as well. Like I really like Morgan Riley as a mm-hmm. defenseman. I think he's except, but there's an extreme drop off after that. Like that's not mm-hmm. it's not a great blue line. When you compare it to Boston, there's no Brandon Carlo on Toronto's blue line. There's no Charlie McAvoy on Toronto's blue line. Those guys are just, they're gamers. And I think I like Riley too, but it's a team that's not built the right way. And you put too much money on those four players. And it is what it is. And
if you shut them down, right? Like yeah. That's where defense wins you championships.
Yeah.
Boston needs to score one goal.
They should have made a move last summer and traded one of those guys and mix it up and tried to get somebody to take Marner last year. He's a good player. It's just, it's a bad fit in Toronto because you have too much of the same thing. Like other players have guys that play on the outside and they still have, well, here's the difference. Back when Pittsburgh was winning those cups with Phil Kessel, Phil Kessel plays on the outside, but everybody else on that team played on the inside and they put him on a line to have success with on that HBK line where you had Nick Bonino mm-hmm. and Carl Hagelin. So Kessel was on your third line where you have your guys on Toronto that play on the outside on your first line.
So Danny Heatley in Ottawa wasn't mixing it up. Right. But
I think Austin Matthews, he's hurt right now. I thought he was pretty good in the playoffs last year. You'd compare Heater more to Matthews. Pure scorers, pure snipers. You give Heater the puck, he's going to score. That's not what Mitch Marner is. He's not a sniper
right.
like Heater was. There's always a place for a sniper. And Heater was big, too. Don't forget. He was 6'3". And
yep.
He just needed a split second to score. So,
but my point is, Yorkie, I don't understand how players don't want to buy in, and I'm just going to specifically say Toronto for the most part, of trying to, they have to battle in the playoffs, and they just don't. Like, remember the days of Gary Roberts and Matt Sundin and Ty Domi? Like,
yeah,
Darcy guys, Tucker, Wally, a different group. They just, some guys, for whatever reason, won't well,
that's,
do it.
That's,
no, but don't you get tired of losing, or is it just you got enough money, you can do whatever you want?
I think people understand. Those guys are trying.
They're not playing playoff hockey. Trying like it's a regular season game is different.
Okay, let me finish my thought there, Mr. Interrupter.
Sorry.
Some guys just have a level they can get to, and that's it. And that's why they never win. The guys that win just know they just have another level. So here's the difference. Like the difference between, from at least what I've seen so far, Marner and Marchand. Marchand's willing to do whatever it takes to win, and he doesn't care. He will, what's a good analogy to use? He will kill your dog.
Yeah.
If it's going to mean that he's going to win in the playoffs, maybe that's a bad.
But that's why he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
But he just, like, if you look at guys are ruthless, that winners, and like they will do whatever it takes. They will play hurt. Go back to when Carolina won the cup and some of those guys on that team could barely lift the cup up. It's just winning in the playoffs is so friggin' hard that's why it's very few guys can do it and very few star players can do it because everything in a star player's life has usually not come easy, but he's just so gifted. He's been so good. He's such a better skater, stick handler, that you get to the playoffs and then all of a sudden – that's why the third line is so important because a third liner generally has battled much harder, much longer, and he's got that in him because he's always had to do that. He's always had to prove himself, and that's why just some guys just can't. That's what makes the Crosbys and the Taves and Marchands. That's what makes those guys special.
Fair enough, then. So why is Toronto so negligent?
Because those guys don't have that in them.
You didn't let me finish. You just got mad at me. So why has Toronto been so negligent in moving out players to bring in that kind of attitude, that truculence that Brian Burke talked about years ago? they have failed to bring that in, and they've put an all-star team together for a great regular season run. Why are they not making the necessary decisions?
I think when they decided to do that, they really felt that the league was moving in a certain way of special teams hockey, no hooking, no holding. The skill and speed is going to dominate. And we're going to build this team of analytic darlings, players that possess the puck, players that have all these skills. Like if you go watch Toronto Maple Leafs playoffs practice, that's what they're working all the time. It's skill and skills coaches and skating coaches. It's all about that type. And I just think they kind of forgot that in the playoffs, it's different. And I really think this too, Wally, this year and last year, there's been I think the NHL has made a focus to let the playoffs, it's a lot different than the regular season, because they used to be in the first round, they would call everything. And if you would call everything, that's going to benefit the Toronto Maple Leafs. Usually, yes. Not this year because their power play is not doing that well. But if you call everything and you let it be like a touch football or touch hockey, it's going to benefit the team that wants an easy game, and that's the difference. And I just think Toronto made the mistake of building a team, and then the league didn't go into no touch hockey or where it's not that rough, because it's still rough. It's still a man's game in the playoffs, and Toronto up to this point, it's just proven they can't do it.
I just don't understand how they just can't identify this.
Well, they don't forget, they tried, you know, they brought in some guys over in the offseason.
Bertuzzi and Domi and Ryan Reeves. But my point, like, you need to fix your top six. Like one of those big four, if you will, has to go. They just have to move somebody.
And this is why people are getting so excited. If Ottawa could ever get into the playoffs, the Senators, Brady Tkachuk is the type of guy. Yes, he is. He is the type of guy that's going to be that much more valuable in the playoffs, because as people are seeing right now, it's sometimes it's about going through a person, not around them. And that's and we all know that's Brady's specialty. He'll run you over.
You know what I'd love to see is Brady having to go basically a full game against Austin Matthews. I think he would drive him batty.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing is going to be in the next few years. You listen to two players that David Bell was talking about when he talked about where Cleven's game is right now. Mm-hmm. That's got to be exciting for Sens fans to hear. And I'm going to butcher his name again. Ostapchuk. Ostapchuk, that's a pretty ringing endorsement for, you know, we saw him play in a very limited role here, but big body, throwback, plays the right way, going to be a good third liner. So
if you think of Zach Ostapchuk, and I know these position wise isn't necessarily it, but if you could have Ridley Gregg, Zach Ostapchuk, and Angus Cruikshank in your bottom six, you're starting to make moves here, and mix in a couple of vets, I think you got a really good bottom six.
I liked how Parker Kelly played down the stretch for the Ottawa Senators.
Yes, my apologies. Yes,
I thought Wally, he started to play with a lot of confidence to go along with the shot blocking, and doing the little things, and you could tell Jacques, he was earning the trust of Jacques, because Jacques was putting him in some spots, especially the penalty kill. So I still think Ottawa is going to go out and sign some veteran forwards that play a responsible, smart NHL style game, where the 200 foot game, we like to call it. I think that's going to be on the shopping list that summer. So I all those guys you mentioned, I don't think all of them at least don't start the year here with Ottawa, but it's going to be a very busy off season, because I think some major changes are coming.
We'll soon find out. The silence of Steve is deafening. I need some news.
It's great. It's great.
No, I hate it. I don't know what to do with it.
This is how you're supposed to run a team. You're not supposed to go flapping your lips and tell everybody your secrets. I know it sucks for news and things to talk about, but keep it close to the vest. I like it.
Speaking of news, Dave Hakstol just fired in Seattle. So,
wow.
Like we'll add his name to the list because, listen, everybody is on, like, who doesn't want to coach the Ottawa Senators? This is a good question. Like, you have a chance to take something and build it. And if you can win with being able to build this from basically the ground up, you're set. Like, I think this is a great opportunity. And anybody who's looking for a coaching job is contacting Steve right now.
Yeah, I think the Craig Berube name is very, very interesting. Everybody's talked about it. But if you look at a group of players that are on the rise, I know people are going to hate to see that, hear this because they thought that was last year. But if I'm Berube, yeah, and if I'm looking at the Ottawa Senators as a group, I'd be very intrigued if I had a couple options because I'm looking, okay, who's their captain? Brady Tkachuk. Yeah, I like how he plays. This guy plays the way that you need to be successful in the playoffs. Okay, do they have a number one defense? Who's on defense for the Ottawa Senators? He's like, oh, Jake Sanderson. Oh, he's pretty good. Oh, shit, he's only 21 years old too. So they've got a stud defenseman and they've got a stud up front. Who else? They got a guy by the name of Tim Stützle. Shit, he's young. Man, I can mold this guy into how he needs to play to win. And then, oh, man, that Batherson guy played pretty good down. So if I'm Shane a coach. Pinto. Yeah, Shane Pinto, two-way centerman, young. So if I'm a coach and I've got some options, because I think Berube's going to have some options, and I'm looking at the Ottawa Senators makeup, I'm very interested.
Okay, I'm going to throw a wrinkle.
Sure.
Here's the wrinkle. If Toronto fires Sheldon Keefe, they can afford to pay a coach $7 million a year.
Do you think Craig Berube is going to want to go coach a team that has those four players right now as your core?
$7 million a year, Yorkie?
Berube wants to win. And I don't know Craig that well. I'm just thinking he's going to go somewhere where he thinks he has the best chance to win a Stanley Cup because the guy's a winner. And I'm saying any coach, you put so much time, so much effort. Yes, you get paid a lot. The money is important. But I just think this is because of the age of this team, it would be very intriguing to me if I'm putting myself in the shoes of some of these coaches that are going to be at the top of the list, the makeup of this team, because of the age, because of the makeup of the players. And all these coaches are watching the playoffs right now and seeing what type of hockey needs to be played. So it'll be interesting. I don't see the Toronto Maple Leafs being a type of team that a coach would say, yeah, those are guys that I think I can go win a Stanley Cup with.
But he's got a Stanley Cup. So I'm just, Yorkie, if someone were to offer you twice as much money to go and coach what is considered arguably the best coaching spot in all of hockey in Toronto. Yeah. And you can, or maybe the Rangers would debate it. That's just a caveat. Like you've got that's a real.
Why are you thinking that Ottawa is not going to offer a lot of money to whoever if they want the guy?
They're not. Oh, because the Toronto Maple Leafs just have money to spend. It's not the same in a small market.
I know, but I think, listen, this is a totally different ownership group than what people are used to. So I don't have any information or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking this group, if they want somebody, it's going to be a little bit different than the old days.
I don't disagree with you whatsoever. I think they will pay a market rate. I'm just not sure it's going to be on par with what the Leafs or the Rangers or other big market teams can pay. That's all I'm saying. That's just, that's a competition factor. Just the same as getting free agents.
Yeah. You got to take into account, you got to like, who are you answering to? Let's say it's Toronto is Brendan Shanahan's. Like if Toronto loses in the first round, is Brendan Shanahan still going to be there? I'm just thinking here. I'm just spitballing here, Wally. What's Shanahan's relationship with Berube? I don't know. Do they like each other? Who knows? You got to think of all those things. And I like how we're just assuming, too, that Toronto's
done. Well, I was just going to say, we haven't hired them yet.
Toronto can make everybody eat their words and come back because, man, they've been just taking it. Much to the delight of Ottawa Senators fans for the last few days. Oh,
they're not coming back. Have you seen their body language on the bench?
Oh, it was awful.
That's tough.
My God. Yeah, it's like, it's not my fault. It's your fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault.
Yeah, so
that needs I got my fancy goal tonight, so I'm good. So
anyway, as an Ottawa Senator person and fan, I'm okay with them leaving Toronto as is. I just think I don't understand management and how you allow that to happen. But please let it be a debacle as it usually is.
The thing with Toronto, it's just that whole thing with Matthews and the 70 goals this year, it's a big deal. 70 goals is it's a huge deal. It's a huge accomplishment. He is the best goal scorer in the league. But man, what a time for that to happen when it is so important for Toronto. And I'm just speaking if you're a Leafs fan or Leafs management or Sheldon Keefe, whose job depends on it. And everybody's so worried about 70 goals. Could you imagine the Boston Bruins caring about that? They don't care about that. Because they care more. They want to win. They don't care. Yeah, if Pastrnak was getting close to 70, I don't think they would have been making a big a deal as Toronto was. Because I just seems to me, this is just my opinion, that the Leafs have always been, it's always been about individual accomplishments. I know they want to win a Stanley Cup, but it's just real guys that want to win and want to win the playoffs, I don't care. They just want to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying Matthews doesn't want to win a Stanley Cup. For sure he does. I've actually liked how he's played, and especially last year in the playoffs. I just, if you're going to do something in Toronto, surround him with guys that will play the right way and play that diligent, hardworking game. Because that's what I would do if I was making the call there. Just try and get some, but anyhow.
So yesterday afternoon, as I'm watching the Nashville-Vancouver game, I'm sitting there going, I think Vancouver's in trouble. If Nashville ties this series at 2, with their third string goalie, I think Vancouver might be in trouble. The momentum might be going to the Nashville Predators.
Can you believe that? Off the post.
They just collapsed. Yeah, wild.
I'm watching that game too, and that goalie – so I'm sitting there watching the game with my son, Jack. He was playing for the Barrie Colts when my son was in Barrie about 5 years ago. And he was okay. And we're like, holy shit, he's going in. and I go, is he any good? He's like, yeah, he's okay. And then just goes to show you with goalies, right? It's just, you never know what you have. And the kid comes in there, Silvos, and whoever you say his name, and plays a really good game with the not that the season's on the line. I still think if Vancouver loses that game, they still win the series. They're just so much deeper than Nashville. But man, just what a finish! Had a chance to put it away. Nashville, the empty net hits the post, and then they come back and Brock Besser. Wow, what a goal! But man, Nash. Talk about heavy hockey, Nashville. They are putting the boots to Quinn Hughes. Every single hit. For anybody listening or watching that watched that game, Quinn Hughes, wow, he took a beating in that game and then comes back and has a big hand in the comeback. But this is gonna play a toll on Quinn Hughes's body for the rest of the playoffs. Nashville has taken a lump of flesh out of that kid, and it's gonna be a long playoff once, because I think Vancouver will go on. This is going to help a lot of teams that are playing Vancouver in the next round, whoever that team's going to be.
I'm really interested to see. I think this gets to 7. Like Nashville just doesn't go away.
Yeah, they have such a hard time scoring, though.
I know. Like, so that's what bugs me. Like, they're up 3-1. They just got to close it down.
I know. I love Andrew Burnett as a coach. Yeah. He was a very good player. But I said this all along. They had to give him the – New Jersey had to let him go because you always let a guy move up. But big reason why the New Jersey Devils had a tough year losing Andrew Brunet. And look at the Brunet effect in Nashville. He's turned that team around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very good. And then, of course, Lindy Ruff now back in Buffalo. That's wild.
Yeah.
Anyway. the only – what's the other series? Oh, the Rangers.
Yeah.
Only one was with the sweep.
I wanted more games. I got lots of Rangers in my pool.
No,
you know, when you're in the hockey pool and you want your players to go as long as they can, Rangers are man, they're looking.
Yeah, but you counted them out early, and I said, no, no, like, you got to give them some credit here. They have shown that they can play a couple different styles. They've and I know Washington barely got in and whatever, yeah. But
well, look at
they dominated that Washington.
Look at players. I talk about players that play on the inside, on the outside. Kreider is a guy that crashes the net, goes to the net. You got one of your core players that plays that style, and they got big defense too. You got Trouba back there, who's the captain of that team. They have Panarin's playing hard too. Like, when you get your skilled guy that's in there finishing hits, getting his nose dirty.
Yeah, right.
And they've got, and their younger guys are starting to mature. Like, Lafreniere's playing better. Kapu-Kaku he's starting to contribute. So they've got a nice little mix. And let's be honest, like, they might have the best goalie in the NHL right now on their team in Shesterkin. Even when they do screw up, Shesterkin's there. He is tremendous. They're going to be a very tough team to beat.
You have the first pick in the draft. You can have Swayman or Shesterkin as your goalie. Who are you taking?
Based on what I've seen in the first round, I'm taking Swayman just because I love his body language. I love how he's not afraid of the big moment. I know Shesterkin isn't either. But I love Swayman's body language. I love, they're both great goalies, but if I had my choice, I'd go with Swayman.
They're pretty good. That'll be, anyway, thank
you. Yeah, they're both great.
And just finally, before we go, the Florida series, Tampa's in trouble.
Yeah. No, they Tampa are. But just... it's so tough. Like, when does it end for Tampa? You look at that group, I love Braden Point. Braden Point, Wally, to me, one of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League. Talk about small guys that play hard and play the right way. I love how Point plays. Yeah. He's just such a competitor. Stamkos has been playing great. Hedman. It's just Florida's just a beast. They're an absolute beast. And we'll see. We'll see. The East is going to be interesting. You got Carolina, looks great. Florida looks great. Rangers are already through. Boston. Pick a coin or flip a coin. This is probably to me the most evenly matched out playoffs I've seen in such time in a long time, where I don't really have a, at the beginning of the season, I know you have the sheet, but I went Colorado and Carolina right from day one.
Yeah,
but it could be any of the teams. Vegas still looks great. Who knows? Vegas, Dallas are slugging it out. The first round of the playoffs never disappoints, and it's the same this year.
So I think there are six series that are 3-1. If I'm correct, is there anybody that's coming back down 3-1? So you got Edmonton's up, Vancouver's up, Colorado's up, Florida, and Carolina. Oh, and Boston, obviously.
Yeah, Carolina's not losing. I don't think Boston's losing. Florida's not losing.
Is anybody getting it to 7?
Winnipeg might get it to 7, but Colorado looks like Colorado. Look, Colorado's on a heater right now.
My God.
Well,
they just, that second period last, I think it was yesterday, I can't keep the day straight. The last game, Colorado just dominated this second period. Yeah. Like Washington or the Winnipeg just wasn't even a factor. It's wild to watch.
Yeah, no, they're not. I don't love the goaltending they're getting in that series. I know he's made a ton of big saves. But besides that first game when Colorado absolutely got shelled, he hasn't been, I'm forgetting his name. What's Winnipeg's
Connor Hellebuck?
Connor Hellebuck, yeah. Like, he's been good, and he's got a lot of volume, but he's not playing like Swayman. He's not playing like Shesterkin.
I just find Colorado, like, it's tough to fault him on some of these when they're so good. Like, and of course, yeah, deflections.
But that's the difference.
And that's playoffs.
If you're a goalie and you speak out like Hellebuck does in the media, I don't know if you remember that quote.
Yep. After game one.
after game one, when you're talking shit, like I'm like, ooh, that's like, if they're gonna beat me, it's not gonna be because of me. It's gonna be a fluke. Well, you were beat clean by a few shots in some of these games. So it's just, I just don't know why you want to put yourself in that situation. I love confident goalies. I love goalies with moxie. He had a great regular season. I didn't like how Hellebuck played last year in the playoffs. I thought he was outplayed. Yeah. And if you like, look how McKinnon's playing, look how McDavid's playing, look how Marchand's playing. Basically, Hellebuck is supposed to be a superstar, right? He is one of what
he is the finalist today. If I'm not mistaken,
he is arguably Winnipeg's superstar. He's not playing like a superstar right now. You can't say, well, you could say, well, it's not his fault, but it doesn't matter. You have to stop the ones you have no chance on if you're a superstar. That's how superstar goalies are. And right now he's not playing like a superstar goalie.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So it'll be interesting to watch two games tonight, Vegas and Dallas. Are playing, and I can't remember the other series that's going on. Anyway, that Dallas, it'll be a good game to watch. So
For Sens fans, it just stinks. Ottawa's not in the playoffs again because you're watching this. You want it so bad. The playoffs are so great. They're so much fun. Hopefully this is the last year for Sens fans where you're actually watching Brady Tkachuk play and Sanderson. And it's the best time of the year.
No, find a goalie. Okay, tomorrow. Zach Smith is going to join the show. We got lots to talk about. There's a couple of things I've dug up on the two of you that you may be surprised with. So tomorrow, Smitty here to talk playoffs. And of course, he's joined the coaching fraternity as he became an assistant coach this year with the Brandon Swift Current Broncos. So we'll chat. Until tomorrow, everybody, 3 p.m. We'll see you then. Take care. Thanks for watching.
See you, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Coming In Hot. If you enjoyed the show, hit that like button and be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode.